Well, well. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. How are y'all doing? Everybody doing okay? Ryan brought me up here for a couple of reasons. One was to speak and to be with you, and that I've looked forward to. The other reason he brought me here was to see a Packers game. But of all the Packer games he had me go to, I didn't get to see my team, the Packers, win. And if you watch it on television, you know what happened. What a letdown in the end. But I will tell you, it doesn't change the fact I'm a Packer fan. Now, you just think I'm blowing smoke up your sleeve. No. I'll tell you something. A week from tomorrow, I believe, the Packers are in Dallas, Texas, playing the Cowboys. I live 30 minutes from the stadium, and I'll be at home rooting for the Packers. How do you like that? So we'll pray that Aaron and the boys have a better day. How's that? Hey, I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I want to talk to you. I want to teach. And yet the things that I want to say are probably nothing I will say you haven't heard or you don't believe. But it's not about, it's not just about believing, and I hope you'll be here tomorrow because that's what I've saved all my big guns for is tomorrow. In fact, I'll just tell you what the title of my message is tomorrow, whatever titles mean to anybody. Tomorrow I'm going to preach on the kind of believing that matters. The kind of believing that matters. You say, are you telling me that there is a believing that doesn't matter? I'm telling you there is a believing that is unproductive. There is a kind of believing that is unfruitful, and it won't get results. And I haven't met any Christian yet that doesn't desire results when it comes to believing what God says about the Word of God so that they can be fruitful in whatever God has called them to be and do. That's my encounter with Christians. That's what I believe. And so I hope you'll be present. So tonight, I want to talk just a little bit about something you hear from this pulpit. And I hear, you know, you have podcasts these days, so I know the kind of teaching and preaching you guys get from Aaron and Rick and from Ryan. And this house is well fed with good teaching, good prophetic insight, good apostolic revelation. And so I know what you get. And so it could be intimidating for me to come here when you have three such good speakers and preachers to try to say something. And I won't say anything they probably haven't said, but you know what I've discovered about people? I don't know if you found that. I find that sometimes it'll be the same thing said, but through a different vessel, a different voice, a different way of saying it, that all of a sudden somebody will get it when they hadn't got it before. So tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about identity. How's that? This is a house that's big on believing what God says about you and accepting your identity in Christ. My history with believers and pastoring for over 40 years, my history is there are people who are filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. They can speak in tongues. They can operate in the gifts of the Spirit with effectiveness and efficiency, and yet they still haven't found security in their identity. You say, how does that happen? How can you be baptized in the Holy Spirit? How can you speak in tongues? How can you prophesy? How can you do all of these gifts and manifest all these gifts in the Holy Spirit and really be insecure in the identity of who you are? Well, that's a mystery to me as well, but it's still in God's hands, and I believe it does happen. And I believe that when we reach out and take hold of who God says we really are. And it's more than in our head, but it's in our heart. See, listen to this statement. Somebody needs to write this down. Here it is. If you live out of your head, fear will be a verb. If you live out of your head, y'all know what a verb is, right? Action. If you live out of your head, fear will be a verb to you. Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Now I lost my train of thought. What I say, if you live out of your head, fear will be a verb. It'll take action. If you live out of your heart, faith will be a verb. So we can live in fear or we can live in faith. We can believe what God says or we can doubt and question God at every corner and every turn about who He says we are and what He says about us. So as a apostolic father who, and I believe spiritual fathers help children, God's children, discover their identity in Christ, as well as I think natural fathers in the natural should help their children discover their identity in Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of my life message, wanting to share my conviction and my strong belief that our lives will be different once we truly begin to live out of the overflow of our identity in Christ. So I say from the very beginning that God sees each one of you and God loves everybody in this room, regardless if you've had a good week or a bad week, whether you've had bad thoughts or good thoughts, whether you've done good deeds or bad deeds this week. It doesn't make any difference to God. God sees you right now and He loves you no less than He loves His Son, Jesus Christ. That's hard for people to wrap their head around. But it is true nonetheless. The problem is our belief, but believing that. So what I want to do is I want to do a little drawing here in kind of teaching some things about identity as I see it. And so what I want to do here is I want to draw a line here. That thing's about running out. There we go. Come on. Here we go. There we go. And over here. That's what I'm going to call that is our chronology. That's our life chart. That's our little time on planet Earth, right? Okay, so here I'll use me for an example. 1949, I discovered America. Now, this is my life in this line here. Some of you say, well, that's I discovered America before you did, and maybe that is the case. And then others of you came along in here, but someday, as we all know, this is not morbid; it's realities. One of these days, we're all going to die, right? So, not knowing that date, I'm just going to put, man. 30, what? No, how about 20? I'll just put this, 2049. Is that okay? Yeah. That's 100. That's awesome. Thank you. So here, y'all still follow me? Because I'm not going to preach like a preacher and get all hot under the collar tonight and preach. I'm just going to talk to you. This is our life. Now, 100 years is a long time, but yet 100 years is nothing. Life for all of us is really short. In compared to eternity and compared to how long things have been going on, 100 years is very short. In fact, James says life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. It's gone. And so this is our life. When I draw this line, it's what I call a little time clock, a lifetime clock. Now, What I want to do is I want to point out to you and me tonight, as a way of review, some of the things that our life is not. We could talk about what our life is, and there's a whole lot in the scripture about what our life is. But there are some lies or some myths. The devil's a liar. And there are some lies that the devil tells you about you. Some of you have heard these lies. Some of you entertain these lies more than you want to, more than you desire to. But the enemy comes and he'll find you at your lowest moment or when you have not done good. And he'll work on you to get you to believe this lie. And this is the lie. Many people believe that they are what they do. Do you realize that a lot of people think what I am is what I do? And therefore, if I do good, if I think good thoughts, if I say kind, gracious words, if I do that which I believe pleases God, then that must be how God sees me as a good person. But if I do bad, if I do wrong, then God sees me that way, and that's the way he feels about me. He feels about me based on how I do or what I do. So if I had a good week, if I'm successful, if I have a job and I'm a realtor and I closed a deal or whatever it is, and you've done good, then you feel good about yourself. And before long, the lie of the enemy says, see, that's who you are. You are what you do. And the lie is, I'm going to keep repeating myself because we don't have it. The lie is, we are not what we do. We are who God says we are. But we believe, when we look at our life, we believe this is the way God sees me, the way I see me. And God doesn't see you the way you see you. And what God wants you to do, he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. I want you to think the way I do about you. I want you to see yourself the way I see you. I want you to believe about you what I believe about you. I want you to function out of who I am and what I've made you to be rather than who you think you are or what somebody else tells you you are. So, this is the lie, right? I'm not going to be long tonight. Hang in here. I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her husbands, I won't keep you long if you'll stay with me. So some people believe they are what they do. And they bomb out when they don't do good. They drop out of church. They declare, I must not be a Christian. God must not love me. There's no use trying. Why go to church? Why read my Bible? Why pray? Why even do any of this stuff? Because look what I do. And they judge themselves based falsely on what they do rather than who God says they are. Very simple. That's simple stuff. But I'm telling you, people live there all the time. And I'll show you in a moment. Here's another lie. Here's another myth. People think they are what they is. That the way to spell it, honey? They are what they possess. I've accumulated some things. I had good parents. We live in a nice home. I have a good job. We've got some money saved back. We have wonderful children, some wonderful grandchildren. We look at all the things that we've collected, all the things that we have taken to ourselves, what we possess, what we own. And we look at all of these things around us and we say, I must be good because I do good. That's when they're thinking. That's when they're doing good. That's how they think, right? And then they say, I must be successful. I must be okay because I possess all these things. That's what makes me okay. I got all this stuff. Look at it. A decent car, a nice house, nice clothes, wonderful children. Hey, I even have an iPhone. So we think, that's the thinking. I'm telling you, it's a lie. I am what I possess. I have influence, some possessions. But we can lose that before morning because we don't know how long, we don't know when this number is going to come up. So if we're trusting tonight, believing that God sees us and we are what we do, and we've not done good up till tonight, we feel like we're in trouble in facing the Lord, or we haven't possessed enough. If you die tonight, by the way, we all know this, it's all staying here. It's all staying here. So we're not what we do. We're talking about identity. We're not what we do. This is all going to come together more tomorrow. This is kind of just a little layout tonight. We're not what we do. We're not what we possess. Let me give you another one. This may be the last one that I give you. But we're not what we possess. Looks like what to me? We're not what people say about us. Aren't you glad that you're not what other people say about you? Because here's what happens. When people say good things about you, you feel good about yourself. And you get on a high and you feel good and you're real proud about that because somebody... But then, do y'all know people are fickle? Don't look at me like that. You've never heard that word, fickle. Strange. Weird. And we all can be that way. I know that's kind of negative. I apologize for that. But here's what I know about people. You live out of your soul, which I'm convinced that most people live most of their lives out of their soul. I'll show you that tomorrow. When you live out of your soul, your emotions, how you feel, then when you feel good, you generally project that on other people and you say good things about people. But if you're not feeling good about yourself or you're not feeling good in life or you're going through something, then somehow you don't say good things about people. You kind of despise people. You judge people. So we think, I am what other people say about me, and when they say good things about you, you feel good. And when they say bad things about you, you don't feel so good. So here's what happens. This is just simple old 101, kind of preparation again. Here's the way it works, what I just described to you. Here I am, and somebody just gave me a compliment, like Ryan introduced me. Now, if I let that go to my head, here's what's going to happen. Woo! And that's good. I guess I really am awesome. Well, yeah, I'm awesome. Ryan said I was awesome. I'm awesome. I'm wise. I feel good. But what if I get back to the hotel room? My wife says, "You really blew it tonight." I don't feel so good. Ryan said I was great. My wife of 50 years says that wasn't so hot tonight. And so I have gone in a couple of hours. I've gone from here to here. Now tomorrow, Ryan's going to introduce me again. And there we go again. There I am. Feel good about myself. Because he's saying good things about me. And that's the same with you. When people compliment you, when they affirm you, when they approve of you, when they pat you on the back, when they say it's a good job, when your boss gives you a raise, when you're introduced as this or that or whatever, you feel good about what is said about you. And then when it's not said about you, It's this, 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 this. And that's the way many people live their lives, I'm telling you. And I'm not mean to anybody here, but I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of you live your lives. You're your worst enemy. You berate yourself. You castigate yourself. You put yourself down. You're your worst enemy. And you live that way. You live this way. You live that way. And I'm telling you, all that produces is frustration, futility. And when you live in frustration and futility, a fatigue will get on you, and you'll go around weary. And you'll wonder, what's wrong with me? I'm so tired. I'm so weary all the time. It's because you've allowed lies to come in, and you believe lies, and you're up and down and up and down, and you expend a lot of energy if you're down trying to get back up and finding people who will help you get up. And when you're up, you try to stay there. You expend a lot of energy trying to hang around people who will keep you there, and you're this way your whole life. It's just like that, up and down, and that's true. My experience of the majority of Christians I know today, they live this way out of their soul. They love God. They're going to heaven. That's not an issue. They love God. They're going to heaven when they die. But life on earth is not everything they thought it would be. And a lot of times they live in misery and anxiety and stress and fear and worry because they don't know what they can believe about themselves that God says. And when I believe what God says about me and I act in faith, faith becomes a verb because I'm living out of my heart rather than out of my head. Then I begin to enact faith of what God says about me, and I begin to be and do what God says rather than be or not be what I think I am based on what I do or don't do. That's really the way it is. You cannot let people define you. Don't let people define you. Don't let people tell you who you are and who you're not, what you can be and what you can't be. It's God. I can tell you what I see, but I'm telling you what, the final word comes from God. I'll show you something else. Just give you three words. I think I probably shared these with you before. That's real simple, but you ought to remember that. When people try to define you, I'm okay. When people try to define you, your life is going to be like that because you're going to be listening to them rather than listening to him. And by the way, we do listen to them more than we listen to him. Trust me. I know. Who gets to define you? Divine God, the Creator, your Father, the Divine One designs you. And whoever designs you is the one who gets to define you. So people tell me, sometimes I'll preach and people say, boy, that was a great sermon. That was a great sermon. This is awesome, kind of like this introduction. If I live my life based on needing that, I'm going to be one sick puppy. Don't know how to put it in a Texas way. I'm telling you, you live your life. You need to be needed. You need to hear that in order to be who God says you are. No, I just need one word from the Father. I need my identity established in the earth by Heavenly Father, just as Jesus had his identity established in the earth by his Heavenly Father. You said, you mean Jesus, while he was here, had to have his identity established? I thought he was God. He was man while he was here. He was the Son of God, and yet he was the Son of man, okay? But he emptied himself, the Bible says, and became a man like you and me. Took on the form of a servant, a man. And he, Jesus, as a man, to demonstrate to you and me that what we need from the Father is the same thing he needed from the Father. And the Heavenly Father established in Jesus his identity. When Jesus walked down into the water to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says the heavens opened up, a dove descended, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I'll tell you, when you know you have your identity established, is on your worst day, when you feel awful, when you have nothing, you possess nothing, and everybody else is saying bad things about you. On your worst day, when you believe in your heart and you hold your head up that the Father loves you and you're his beloved son and you're his beloved daughter, and it's not based on anything you've done, anything you possess, or anything anybody says, that's when you'll know your identity is established. So we get our worth and our value out of the wrong thing. We really do. God defines us, and God gives us our worth and our value. One other. We're talking about work. We could put do. See if it's coming back to me, hopefully. I traffic in three words. You know, I get a lot of things like divine, design. Identity-wise, here's what we've got to get, as well as getting God to define us. Work, worth, and worship. Because until you see your worth in God, and you won't see that until you hear what God says about you and how valuable you are to him, you're my beloved son. By the way, when Jesus said that in baptism, he hadn't done one miracle yet. He just started his ministry. He hasn't done a thing. Not one miracle has been performed, and God says, "You're my son, and I love you," and you hadn't done anything. Work, worth, and worship. We get our worth not from our work, what we do. And here's what will happen if you get your worth. If you go to here to get your worth and value, then you'll end up worshiping whatever you get your worth from. Say that again. You'll worship. You'll adore. You'll need. You'll strive to attain. And if you get your worth from work, you'll be a workaholic. You won't be able to do enough. Because that's the only time you have sense you have any value. Give you a little example. I don't know the hearts of anybody, but I can imagine a Green Bay Packer quarterback who was successful all his life and retires, and then he comes back and wants to keep playing after he retired. Now, it could be passion for the game, but his statistics show he's really over, he's through. It could be a Jason Witten in Dallas. Could be a Brett Favre in Green Bay. Don't know anybody's heart, but could it be that I got my worth, my value, my love, the applause from the crowd and from people, and when I retired, it's not coming anymore? Could be passion for the game, probably that too, but I'm convinced a lot of people try to make a comeback because of their insecurity in who they really are and the value of who God's made them to be. If you get your worth from your work, you're in trouble. You really are. And pretty much predict you're living like this. Where we get our worth, where you get your worth, is from the one that you worship. And if I worship the Creator, the Divine One, the one who made me and knew all about me, my faults, my failures, and still loved me and accepted me, if I get my worth from the one I worship, then I'll just keep on worshiping throughout eternity. Starting now, not when I die. Let me close. This is the way a lion. And I'm convinced that's one way to see it. But I'm convinced there is a better way to live, where we no longer live a lion, life on and see life on a lion, but we start believing that life is like this. And it becomes a circle. And it becomes fuller and fuller and deeper and fuller and fuller and richer and fuller. And it's not seen. That's pretty boring right there. I'm telling you, the landscape is pretty boring right there. But when you've got a helix and they're spiraling up, you're seeing things that you never saw before on the next round and on the next round and on the next round. You're looking down and you're seeing things. You really are seated in heavenly places with Him. And as you live in this life and look from His perspective about you and about situations, your life, I promise you, will be different. But it all begins, and I'll talk about it tomorrow. It's the kind of belief, the kind of believing, there is a kind of believing. I want to show you there's a kind of believing that you can do. And you won't get there overnight, and it won't be one trip to the altar. It won't be one Shandai or one intercession service. It'll have to come as you daily get in the Word and discover what God says about you and actually believe what God says and rid yourself of all these lies that I'm not what I do, I'm not what I possess, and I'm not what people say about me. I am who God says I am. Could I see you tomorrow, maybe? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you see us. In fact, you saw us before we arrived here. We're here because of you. And now you have chosen to live in us and to live your life through us so that others might see you by the way we live. May we live our lives moving upward and closer to you day by day. Even though you live within us, may we just draw from that strength from within, draw from the word that you've placed within us. May we believe and receive everything that you have provided for us. Our life is hid with you, and we want to represent you in the earth. So I pray tonight that you will do a work in somebody's heart. Start a work, complete a work, continue a work in our hearts and in our lives so that we can be who you've called us to be and not what others say we really are. I bless you and thank you for these wonderful people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.